Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, a life issue perhaps, the lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's discuss it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This month we're talking about the grace of God, and I can think of no better subject to talk about. It's a big, indeed, big word, God-sized in scope and power and impact and all of those sort of things, but a word that is so misunderstood. I mean, people are so confused about the grace of God. We think of it as simply a covering for past sins. And so when we mess up, hey, I just need a little grace of God now, and then everything will be okay. Well, if that's what you're thinking, then you've just missed the real heart and soul of this word and the real heart and soul of Christianity, because grace is what saves us. And what I mean by that is grace is what gives us new life. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So what is grace according to this passage? It's the very power of God that gives us life, that enables us to cross over from death to life in Jesus Christ. And all that was motivated by the great love that God the Father has for you and me. Mm-hmm. So this word grace is a big word, a powerful word, an impactful word. It truly is a death to life word. And boy, Andrew, if believers would just get a hold of that, I think it would change their whole view on what this word is all about.
Yeah, I mean, just think about what Christians are grasping for. If we don't know the truth, we're grasping for closeness with God. I want to be close with God today. How do I get close? And then we find two ways or three ways or five ways to get close. And then lo and behold, Ephesians 2 says, you're put together with Christ, made us alive together with him. That's one spirit with the Lord, that's unified. So all that grasping for closeness, well, we've got that closeness. We've got that intimacy. We've got that oneness with Jesus as a free gift. So we can stop all the grasping and all the trying and just start trusting in what Ephesians 2 is telling us. And you're right. I mean, you know, the average view of grace is it's a crutch, or it's a safety net when you fall, or it's a cleanup job after you've messed up big time. God's going to swoop down out of heaven and clean you up and cleanse you of your sins, and that's what grace is. Well, Ephesians 2 shows us a grace that is inspiring, a grace that is empowering. And you'll notice, as you already noted, Bob, I mean, you've got this word grace, and it's sandwiched. I mean, it's sandwiched here between two expressions, made us alive and raised us up. So it's high time that the Christian world, their understanding of grace, I mean, we need a new understanding that involves, by grace I've been made alive, by grace I've been raised up, by grace I'm together with Jesus as close as I can be. And man, that is where the power is. The power is in Jesus, and we need to know that we're not firing up long distance phone calls to him begging for a new portion of grace to come our way. I mean, this is grace upon grace, grace on our left, grace on our right, grace behind us, grace in front of us, grace beneath us. I mean, you know, Romans says that we're standing in grace like an ocean, and that is a powerful thing that we need to know in the moments where we're needy and hurting, but also in those average everyday moments, just to know I'm clean and close, and I'm empowered and inspired by the life of Jesus. That's what grace is.
Yeah. You know, Andrew, it's interesting. There's so many people who, you know, say, I just don't have a testimony. My testimony isn't dramatic or as dramatic as that person's. And I think the reason they say that is because they're just thinking about grace giving a person a clean slate. So here's somebody that was a drug addict or is involved in sexual immorality or in the mob or whatever it might be, and how they were released from that, and they got this clean slate. And there's there's little Johnny who was pretty good all of his days of school and that sort of thing, and he just doesn't have a very good story to tell. And we forget that grace isn't about a clean slate. It's about being made new. It's about going from death to life. And the same power that raised the drug addict spiritually is the same power that raises good little Johnny. We're both dead. That's the real story of humankind. We're dead spiritually, and we need life. And it's this grace of God that provides it in the person of Jesus Christ.
And that's Basic Gospel, and that is good news, everybody. I hope you're enjoying and benefiting from what Bob and Andrew have been saying and sharing. You can come in and be a part of today's broadcast at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, this month's donor gift, Gateway to Grace, implies an invitation to walk through. What does the gateway look like, and what will we find on the other side?
Well, the gateway is Jesus Christ. I mean, He is the one who is full of grace and truth. We want to know anything about the grace of God. We have to look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. But He's not only the gateway. I mean, he made that statement, I am the door, no one enters except through Him. Mm-hmm. So he's the first experience of grace, and then He's the entirety of grace. So we live this Christian life in exactly the same way we entered into it, by grace through faith in Jesus. So grace is not only the way we're saved, it becomes the way of the Christian life, and that's what this series is all about.
It's called The Gateway to Grace, of course, friends, and this six-message series with study guide is there to equip you to stand firm in the truth of God's love and grace. So you can obtain your copy as you make your gift of this month of August. Click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Austin, Texas with Randy. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
So grateful for the service you provide. It really helps me in my faith, so I just want to thank you first. My question, well, I've got two questions, and I think they might be related. What is meant by the term replacement theology, and I think it has something to do with the Jews, are Jews under a different covenant and therefore saved, even if an individual Jew might not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Well, Randy, those are great questions, and I think we're going to have some encouraging and unifying answers for you.
Yeah, you know, Bob, this idea of replacement theology, it basically means that we're going to take every prophecy, that we're going to take every prediction in the Old Testament about Israel, everything about Israel's future ever, and propose the idea that it could be about the church, that it could all be about the body of Jesus Christ without exception, and that would be a radical form of replacement theology. And, you know, folks will accuse others of saying, well, you're teaching replacement theology and all of that. And in my view, Bob, a balance needs to be achieved here. I mean, clearly, you look at Jeremiah, you look at Isaiah, you look at some Old Testament prophecies like in Daniel, and a lot of these are directed at Israel, plain and simple. They're written in the time that they were written for an audience of that day for a purpose, and we can let that purpose stand, and we don't have to try to superimpose ourselves on every verse in the Old Testament and try to make everything about us. Now, you know, as far as this idea of there being different covenants, boy, I think that is also equally dangerous. I mean, the idea that Israel has one covenant and that we have another covenant, well, you know, hang on, because the book of Hebrews says here's a new covenant for the house of Judah. Here's a new covenant for Israel. But then Paul is telling Greek people, as he writes the Corinthians, he says, we are ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And he goes on to talk about how there's something greater than the Ten Commandments. There's something greater than the covenant that Israel received. So, you know, we want to allow some room for Israel to have had the prophecies they received, for those things to be fulfilled in Israel. And yes, it takes discernment. It's not easy. Sometimes we're seeing the body of Christ mentioned, but we don't want to just substitute wholesale every Old Testament passage and superimpose the body of Christ on it. I've seen people, Randy, who do mental gymnastics with that, and ultimately they end up with egg on their face. It just doesn't stack up to scrutiny. And the bottom line is, look, I mean, basic gospel here, we're proclaiming the new covenant. Who is that for? Well, it's for Jews, it's for Gentiles, it's for human beings. Thank God that we have a covenant at all. As a Gentile believer, I didn't have any covenant before Jesus. I was without hope, Ephesians says, without a covenant, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and now I've been presented with this new covenant message. So for the Jewish person, they need to abandon the old and embrace the new. But for a Gentile person like me, and maybe you too, well, it's the new or nothing at all. The new covenant is all we have. So we become one. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Jesus Christ, and the new covenant makes that happen, Randy. So does that help?
It sure does. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. Well, thank you, Randy. And, you know, his last question, are Jews saved without Christ? And the answer is no. He's the Savior. And the story, the Old Testament story, is all about Christ. It's all about what he was going to come to do. And he arrived, and he did what God sent him to do. He carried out the will of the Father. He inhabited a body. He died on a cross. He became that sacrifice that took away all sin for all time. And there's no other way to get to God except through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So salvation in God's mind has always been by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, in this conversation about, I guess, covenant theology, for lack of a better term, is dispensationalism, is that a part of the same discussion we're having here? Is that something different?
Well, that's an interesting question as well, and it's a debate that takes place in theological circles quite often. And you have covenant theology, and then you have dispensationalism. And you say, which system is the best as far as interpreting the Word of God? Mm-hmm. And so the folks that really land on the covenant theology side are normally Reformed, Calvinistic in their thinking. And then there's the dispensationalists over here. Now, both right. try to lift up the grace of God and say it's all by grace. And so there's things that are consistent with both, but it's just different ways to look at the Bible and try mm-hmm. to interpret the overall story of the Bible. And Andrew, it really gets down to the question that was just asked about Israel. So covenant theology just looks at you know, there's just one people of God, and some of the covenant theologians would be the ones that would say the church has replaced Israel, and so all the promises that were given to Israel are now true of the church. So they would draw that out of how they've interpreted the Word of God through this system called covenant theology. And you know, that's a problem. So they would say there's no future for the nation of Israel. And I don't think that's what Scripture has to say. I think there is a future, and I think we see that in Romans 9 and 10 and 11, where it says they've been hardened temporarily, but there's going to come a point when that mercy will come back to them. And so it's an important discussion, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, from our vantage point, guys, I think we look into the New Testament and we say, how many covenants is Paul actually talking about? How many covenants does Hebrews actually reference? Can we make this thing simple? Is it about six covenants or seven covenants or a bunch of different dispensations? You know, as much as that's interesting to look into and see what theologians have said about it, what do Paul, Peter, James, and John say about it? What do the New Testament authors, including the writer of Hebrews, say about it? Well, there's a continual emphasis on the old versus the new. And, you know, that is our wheelhouse here at Basic Gospel. That's why we're always talking about the old way of understanding and the new way of understanding, living under the law or living under grace. So at the end of the day, we could try to dissect the Bible and get it into a lot of categories of time and dispensations and covenants. And, you know, at the end of that day, a lot of people are just plain confused. And, you know, I think the big picture is always important to emphasize, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. This new covenant is founded on better promises. It is contrasted with the old covenant that had commands that were very burdensome. The law kills, the Spirit gives life. The old covenant was inferior, the new covenant is superior. That is the language we see in the New Testament, guys, and to me, that's why we focus on what we do.
Yeah, that is so true, and thank you, Andrew, for really simplifying it. You know, I've been in discussions with hyper-dispensationalists. I've been in discussions with those who really are hyper as far as their covenant theology is concerned, and it gets so confusing. I mean, there are some people who say, hey, all of the Bible is really written to the Jews except for Paul's 13 letters, and those are the only books written to Gentiles, and we Gentiles could just rip out every other page, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? And so you have these huge extremes, and it really misses the central, simple, life-changing message of Jesus that is revealed to us in this new covenant. And, boy, he ushered that in through his shed blood. That's the covenant that we're in today. And, boy, let's just rejoice in that and enjoy this new life that we have in Christ.
Great discussion, guys. And Randy, thank you for kicking it off. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us today. 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. We still have time on the clock. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Friends, if you're beaten up and knocked down in your Christian life, well, guess what? Something is wrong. And you'll learn what that something is when you join Bob Christopher in Basic Gospel for the Simply Grace Conference, a live seminar designed to help you discover the real life that Jesus wants you to have. All the information for the Simply Grace Conference is online at basicgospel.net/events, and we want to see you there. That's Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, right here in the ministry's hometown of Louisville, Texas, in the Dallas area. And for those of you who may be coming in from a greater distance, there's easy access from the two major Dallas airports, and we've arranged also for a discounted hotel rate for you. So the only remaining question is, will you register and be with us? Well, we sure hope so. Again, you'll find all the information for the September Simply Grace Conference at basicgospel.net/events. Well, once again, it is Basic Gospel, and guys, we had this call come in overnight. Let's listen.
Hey, guys, love the show. Just had a question about predestination and Romans 9. Kind of heard some things were passed and just wanted to get y'all's input on it. Thanks.
Well, it seems like a common theme today, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so this predestination, talk about a subject that is spirited when people get in conversation, but it doesn't need to be. It's really a simple explanation as well.
Yeah, you know, you look in Romans 9, which is the core of his question, Bob, and And you see a particular verse there where Paul says, "What shall we say then?" And I love it when Paul says that. He says it a few times in his letters. What shall we say then? And he's signaling that here's a conclusion to draw. He's signaling, hey, this is what I'm talking about right now. If you're confused, look for that, what shall we say then? And in Romans 9, Paul says, here's what predestination is about, that Gentiles, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness found righteousness. And guys, that is the bottom line of predestination. There was a secret plan. It's now been revealed. In the Old Testament, it was a mystery. It was God's will all along, but it was a mystery. And now it's obvious that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he's going to draw all men unto himself. He's not going to select just the Jews. He's going to say, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so every single time you see this predestination issue developed, whether you're looking in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, or whether you're looking in Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11, you're going to see something curious. And here it is. Every single time predestination is developed like that, you're going to see Jews and Gentiles talked about, because that is predestination. Predestination is God's secret plan to save Gentiles. That's how Abraham became the father of many nations, not just Israel, but many nations, because whosoever has faith in Jesus, well, we are grafted in. Gentiles are grafted in. Jews, well, if you don't believe, you're not part of the tree, you're broken off. But wait a minute, if you change your mind and decide that you want to believe in Jesus, you too are grafted back in. So there's hope for Jews, hope for Gentiles. And guys, the bottom line is predestination is a unifying message. It can unify anyone and everyone, because it's not about being under the law. It's not about being an Israelite. It's not about being a Gentile. It's about being in Christ. So let's love predestination and appreciate it for the unifying message that it really is.
Powerfully unifying. We've had conferences and taught lectures on this, and it just melts hearts, and you just stand shoulder with shoulder with people, Gentiles and Jews, and it's that one man in Jesus Christ. It's just absolutely amazing. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is, the woman that was caught in adultery, and the Lord, you know, restores her, but at the same time, he tells her, go and sin no more. And why does he put her back under the law, or makes her do something that's impossible to do?
Well, Mary Jo, I don't think we have to look at it that way. It's not that he's putting her under the law necessarily. What he's trying to do is save her from a great deal of heartache and pain. I mean, go and sin no more in the way that you have been sinning, because look what it's doing to you. I mean, it's tearing you up on the inside. You're heartbroken. You're with men that aren't really seeking true, healthy relationship with you. And so I think we see the care of Jesus and the counsel of Jesus here. He's saying, you're not condemned. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to let these gentlemen condemn you either. They've already picked up their stone and they're ready to do so, but then their own hearts convict them of the hypocrisy of it. And so when they leave, this little private conversation between Jesus and this woman, I mean, it's counsel. It's godly counsel, and it's saying, hey, save yourself the heartache. Make some healthy choices here, and that's the heart of Jesus on display.
Well, it sure is, Mary Jo. I hope that helps. And also, I think we need to get to the core of sin, and that is unbelief in Jesus. And the writer is moving to that. And so she had been seeking life and satisfaction and everything but Jesus. And he's saying, hey, let's change your whole way. Hope that helps, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and with your gift in August, you're going to receive the 6-CD audio series and study guide called Gateway to Grace, and you can donate right now at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and receive your very special gift as our thanks from Basic Gospel to you. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Now, between now and tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, and you'll probably hear it answered on tomorrow's broadcast. If you'd rather write your question, you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, be sure to check out the Simply Grace Conference, now just 1 month away, here at our ministry hometown, Louisville, Texas. You'll find the information at basicgospel.net/events. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.